Money FM 89.3, best of your money. Money and Me on Your Money, only on Money FM 89.3.
In the month of International Women's Day, it is time to hashtag break the bias. I'm Michelle Martin. Welcome to Money and Me. Today we're asking, are women poorer investors than men? I'm often asked this question at talks. Now, we know gender disparities have long dogged the financial industry. Historically, women have struggled to keep pace with men in more traditional investment verticals. But there is an interesting U.S. study by Fidelity done in 2021 that shows that on average, female retail investors consistently outperform their male counterparts by an average of 0.4% every year. So is there cause for hope? We certainly hope so. But what happens when we look at financial instruments of the 21st century, like cryptocurrency? Well, the picture there is mixed because there's an even wider gender gap in the field of crypto investing. I actually learned this at a women's event that I was hosting a couple of days back. Twice as many men as women invest in cryptocurrency. This according to CNBC and Acorn's Invest in You and Next Gen Investor Survey. And the crypto gender gap exceeds the existing gap within traditional investments, including stocks, ETFs, mutual funds, and real estate. In fact, according to the new survey data, the gender disparity in crypto matches or exceeds gender gaps in ownerships of ETFs, 14% of men versus 7% of women. Individual stocks, 40% of men owning that versus 24% of women. Mutual funds, 30% of men say they own mutual funds versus 20% of women. And bonds, 14% of men versus 11% of women. So the gap narrows sometimes depending on the instrument. But if you're a woman listening in, what I'm keen to hear is, what are the barriers that you face investing? You can WhatsApp me 9717-8893 and we'll use your insights to build even more shows that speak to you. So do you think women investors matter? What holds you back? What are the barriers you face investing, women, if you face any at all? 9717-8893 to WhatsApp me. Now, what do you think women should consider when building your portfolio, and how can we think differently from men when it comes to investment decisions? Do we in the first place? We'll question all that. Put all those questions to Evelyn Goh, Deputy CEO and Chief Advisory Officer at Provident. Good morning, Evelyn.
Good morning, Michelle.
All right, let's get your point of view. Are there any key differences in your opinion between how women and men approach the whole area of financial planning?
Well, I think one of the key differences is the one that most of us know, that women generally have a longer life expectancy. You know, we tend to live longer than men by around 4 to 5 years. So definitely from a planning standpoint, it's important to plan for a longer retirement income period. You know, especially if the woman, you know, they come in together with their husband and she's the younger spouse, then we do need to plan for a longer period. Then the next difference will be whether the woman works. If she's a homemaker, then we need to plan for emergencies such as premature demise of the breadwinner, which in this case will be the husband. Typically, when we plan for such needs, we tend to just think about, you know, when the kids are young. But in addition to the situation when the woman is a homemaker, we do need to plan in for her retirement needs as well. But if it's a dual income family, we do need to have a conversation, you know, around the intentions of the family, whether the woman wants to take a break, wants to have the option to take a break from work, because it's very common to talk to mothers and, you know, they like to have the option to stop work when the kids go to primary school, or, you know, it's time for them to take the all-important PSLE, you know, which is a crucial examination in Singapore. And with them taking a break from work, there tend to be an impact on their finances and also her own accumulation goals. So we do really need to take that into consideration. But having said all this, you know, in my area of practice, I've noticed that actually there are more and more single ladies coming to do planning as well. And their concerns are actually no different from that of men. They want their wealth to be managed well, to support their desired lifestyle, and they want to provide for people that they care about.
So very important strands there. You mentioned, you know, there are periods of time where women may want to plan to not be in the workforce because they want to take care of their kids during the PSLE, for example, or maybe an elderly person, you know, develops an illness and they need to be the sole caregiver. So for women who may have dropped out of the workforce and then find that their savings have dwindled, their CPF has dwindled, what can they do when planning forward?
we have to look at, you know, whether they're married or not. If it's a married woman, I think it's easier to solve generally, because when the clients come to us, they tend to plan for their cash flow needs as a couple. And also in this case, if let's say in your example that, you know, her CPF is dwindling, the husband can always help to do a top up, and actually he has benefit for doing that, right? There's some, you know, tax incentive for him to top up the wife's special account. But when they do planning as a couple, her needs, her retirement needs and all that, in that sense, is accounted for. But if the wife wants to have a separate personal account, for whatever reasons, it's not uncommon where the husband can actually give her a monthly allowance, then that can be her resource to set aside for her own investment portfolio. In this case, if it's a single lady who has dropped out of the workforce to care for, you know, in your example, the parents, then I think all the more she needs to start planning as early as she can, because we do need to look into various things. What are the resources that she has available for investing towards investment right now? Does she plan to re-enter the workforce at some point? Yeah, so it might be a need to kind of like look at balancing the spending between now and also planning for her retirement in future, because she might need to spend less now, or that the trade-off might be she also have to adjust her expectations for her retirement income, and also whether she has to work longer, and also exploring ways to increase her income through skills training and upgrade. We have to look into whether she has assets such as a property, because there is a possibility that she can monetize it to fund her retirement lifestyle. And as you've mentioned, you know, utilize national schemes such as topping up the CPF or special account so that she can assure herself a higher annuity income. So in short, it's actually a combination of trying to increase her earning power, maximize whatever resources she has now, while managing her expectations of how much she can spend now as well as in the future retirement income. So there are actually, unfortunately, no easy solution to this.
We wanted to do a show on women and money because we know that if we look at unemployment statistics and COVID, it's women, if there was a face of poverty, it would be a woman's face because women have been particularly affected by the pandemic. A lot of frontline workers being women, or women taking on disproportionate extra childcare responsibilities, even as we all move to these hybrid workplaces and work from home. And we looked at World Bank figures and in the initial phase of the pandemic, 42% of women lost their jobs compared to 31% of men. And another World Bank survey showed women-led businesses disproportionately affected by the crisis. So by September 2020, men had recovered 49% of their initial employment losses compared with just 30% of women. All right, Evelyn, let's find out. Do you think that there are differences in terms of how men and women approach investing?
That's an extremely interesting question. And as you've mentioned, you know, over the years, there's been lots of research conducted on this topic. So generally, there are some observations that women tend to invest for a long term, and they are more disciplined to stay invested. They tend to be less engaged in short-term trading, which is good because the lesser you trade, the lesser trading expenses you incur. And women are generally more goal-oriented. So they tend to be more consistent in putting money into their investments. And women, we all know, you know, we are actually quite ready to reach out for professional help. So in that recent Fidelity survey conducted in US, women investors actually outperform men, you know, in their investments by about 0.4% per annum. Despite all this, somehow women still tend to be less confident when it comes to investing. And the interesting thing is that we had discussions in our firm about around this topic as well. Some of us feel that it's not strictly gender-based in that sense, but it's driven more by personality, you know, experience in investing, their background, their role in their family, and how interested they are generally in investing. But some of us do observe that men can be a little bit overconfident when timing the market, but women investors tend to be more trusting. So when they invest, they tend to invest for the long term, guided by their advisors.
So anecdotally, perhaps from your own experience, you're a woman in the financial world. Did you feel that you were sort of the in the minority for a long while? Do you think that, have you seen differences in terms of the way men and women invest?
When I first started, I do observe that, you know, it's the men who are taking charge, you know. But actually, when it comes to financial planning over the years, I've noticed that women tend to be more concerned about financial planning than investing specifically. So I think women, you know, when they look into planning and all that, they like to look for security, peace of mind. They want to have the big picture of what they're investing for. So I do notice that there are more and more women coming to do planning.
Mm, that's good to know. So you don't think that women are left behind in the investing world?
I tend not to think so, because I think in Singapore, we are blessed to have a very good education system that is not gender biased. And with higher education, you know, and when there is a greater financial awareness and literacy, women can be as empowered as men in investing. For women, we do need to take charge a little bit. We need to kind of like have an interest and see the need to do it. You know, so I mean, I'm a woman myself, but of course, I'm blessed to be in this industry and understand investing. So when it comes to investment for myself, I'm actually, you know, my asset allocation is into 100% equities because I've done my planning. I know that I have that mental time frame to stay invested for the long term. You know, I invest in a globally diversified portfolio using low cost instruments. I'm committed to stay invested regardless of the short term volatility. And, you know, when there's market dips, I actually invest more because I know that markets will go up over the long term. So I think really the key lies in creating the awareness on the need to plan and helping women see that there is actually an evidence approach to investing that is not speculative and actually gives you a higher certainty of achieving enough returns for your needs over the long term.
I wonder, Evelyn, if you could share with us, it's quite rare to have a deputy CEO be able to come on and share with us a personal reflection on money in their lives. So what has your conception of money changed over time?
Yes, it has definitely. I actually have a very interesting relationship with money. I grew up, you know, in a very, very humble background where money is scarce. But somehow I didn't feel that, you know, I'm in lack, you know, because I learned since young that in Singapore, if you're prepared to work hard, you actually can make money. So I started giving tuition when I was in primary six. So in a way, I was like self-sufficient.
Primary six? What were you teaching other people?
P6 can teach P1 and P2. So I actually don't take pocket money from my mom, you know, and then...
You were financially independent from 12?
So to speak.
Wow.
At least where the pocket money, you know, area is concerned. Mm. Yeah, so, and then of course, as a fresh grad, you know, you come to money, like many young people, you know, I tend to be quite a spendthrift, don't have much savings. But after 2 to 3 years of so-called indulgence, I actually came to my senses. I became more prudent with my expenses, and I've been that way since. And, you know, at Provident, you know, our earlier years was not easy starting the business. But it has also taught me the importance of being contented. And actually, contentment is, I realize, is being happy with what I have, you know, not being envious or strive for what I do not have. And it also means living within my means. And by living within my means, it actually gives me more resources, right? Because it's not about how much you earn, it's about how much you save, right? That matters.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So when you have more resources, I can save and invest towards my future cash flow needs. And being contented also means that I have reasonable expectations for my future goals. And because of that, I don't need to chase high returns, because you chase high returns, then you have like high stress. Okay. And then, you know, that may cost you not to stay invested. Yeah. So, I think all this is important, you know, this contentment, understanding investing, and of course, being in this industry, it helps me, you know, that I have, when I educate my clients to stay invested, I'm all the more convicted, you know, to stay invested, of course, provided that it's in a properly diversified global portfolio, you know, then I can ensure that, you know, my money is actually working very hard for me while I'm working hard as well.
And that you walk the talk as well, right? What you're telling clients to do. How did you get started in the world of investing? I mean, did somebody hold your hand through it? Did you read up some books by yourself? How did you get started?
Well, I mean, I'm in this industry. I have to kind of throw myself into the deep, you know, to read, to study, and then, of course, start an account, start investing. It's really putting my money where my mouth is, you know, what we advise clients to do. I actually do that with my own money. Then I can understand, you know, how clients would feel when the market dip like 29% in, March 2020.
As a woman, did you get started investing? Like you say, 2-3 years into the working world, you decide, okay, I got to stop spending like this. I got to start keeping more of my money than spending. Is that also around the time when you start investing, or does that come later?
For me, it comes later because I started in the insurance industry. Mm. So I started setting aside money through endowment plans. But later, as I learned more, you know, about the various instruments and tools such as the unit trust, you know, portfolios and all, actually then started investing.
All right. We'll leave you the final word, Evelyn. What do you say to women out there who want to take charge of their finances, not quite sure where to start?
I think it's about being empowered, okay, and it starts with a decision. Do you want to, you know, if you think that it's so important, then take charge, read more, get yourself involved in, you know, subscribe to good blogs, financial blogs, read up more, get yourself educated and start an account and invest. You can start small, but in the right direction. So as you put your money into it, you'll learn to kind of like experience what is it like to invest. And as you do more, you'll get more confident.
All right. Thank you, Evelyn, for joining us. Women, it's time to break the bias. We hope you got some great ideas on how to start thinking about taking control of your finances today. I'm Michelle Martin, and my guest is Evelyn Goh, Deputy CEO, Chief Advisory Officer at Provident.
Money and Me is brought to you by Raffles Health Insurance. Speak to our Raffles Health Advisor to learn more about our Raffles Shield A plus Raffles Hospital option. For more information, visit www.raffleshealthinsurance.com.
Money and Me on Your Money, only on Money FM 89.3. Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.